This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Without a doubt, each of the genders has a long list of things that irritates them about the opposite gender, understandably. But the actual solution to the problem must begin with the acknowledgement that both of us are feeding into that negativity. Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him and we seek His help. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our souls and the consequences of our actions. Whomever Allah guides, none can misguide. And whoever is misguided cannot be guided except with Him. I bear witness and I testify that there is no God other than Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. And I bear witness and I testify that the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the final prophet and the most perfect worshipper of Allah. As to what follows, know, O Muslims, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to be conscious of Him in the Quran when He says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatih wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. Dear Muslims, one of the most sensitive and difficult topics of our generation, and a topic that our whole society and the current world and even our particular demographics of the Muslim Ummah is constantly struggling with, is the reality of the tensions between our men and our women, our brothers and our sisters, the reality of the so-called gender wars going on. And these wars reflect the cultural changes or shifts that have taken place over the last century, which has completely changed the role of men and women in public society and the role of husbands and wives and fathers and mothers in private society. All of these changes have reflected on what exactly does it mean to be an ideal father, ideal mother, ideal husband, ideal wife? What exactly is the role of a man and a woman in public and private society? And we see now, especially in the last few years, the rise of so many different trends and movements at odds with one another. We have men's rights activism. We have the red pill movement. We have, of course, feminism. We have anti-feminism. And this increased polarization between the two genders also reflects a generational divide. Generally speaking, our youngsters, college level and that age, have very different views than our elders. And so parents are discussing with their own children. Maybe even in the same household, the parents are trying to explain to their own youngsters the reality, and they find a generational divide, and they also find a gender divide. Perhaps even in the same family, your sons are talking one way and your own daughters are speaking in a completely different way. And this all demonstrates this divide is something that we need to talk about in a mature manner. Tensions are extremely high. And unfortunately, levels of emotionalism compounded with this reality of cancel culture. If anybody says one thing I disagree with, he needs to be lambasted and canceled. Unfortunately, it has run completely berserk. But I remind myself and you that problems cannot be solved with emotions, and problems cannot be solved with slogans. We are dealing with a very complex issue, and even one khutbah can only begin discussion. How much can I say in 20 or 30 minutes when in reality this requires many, many hours of discussion? But still I say, at least the conversation needs to begin. And the premise that I appeal to both genders is stop reading in and expecting your paradigm to be validated. We have a massive problem when we can't even have a civil discussion. Men are tense and women are tense. Each one wants to hear which side will the speaker take. If the speaker says something that seems to validate the men's paradigm, they say, aha, yes, look, this is what I've been saying. And the women label the speaker, oh, he's a misogynist, he's an anti-feminist, he doesn't care about women. And if the man speaker, in this case the male speaker, says something about women's rights, immediately men label this person, oh, he's a sellout, oh, he's appeasing the women, oh, he's a soft feminist. Brothers and sisters, enough with the labels, enough with simplistic emotionalism. We are dealing with very complex issues, issues that are dividing the ummah. Are we blind to the reality taking place? Ask any person who is involved in the community. The number of marriages breaking, the number of divorces happening. Ask anybody of the problems within our own community that we want to put under the rug and not talk about. Every single leader across this country is painfully aware that our communities are suffering because men and women cannot communicate with one another, because they're not on the same wavelength when it comes to marriages. Families are being broken. Children are being deprived of two parents. There's so many issues taking place in the courts between the husband and wife, between child custody. And even worse than this, our youngsters, the next generation, is genuinely scared to get married. They're traumatized because they see what is happening in the generation above them. We have now a new generation of 20-year-olds. They don't want to get married for a period of time. Why? Because they have seen what has happened in the generation before them. Oh Muslims, enough with emotionalism. Stop worrying about who's right and wrong. And I will tell you bluntly, both genders are at fault here. Both genders have contributed to the problem here. When both genders don't understand, they are a part of the solution. When both genders want to get a scot-free pass, oh, the problems are only coming from the other side. No, I'm sorry, that's not the way it works here. Each one of the genders has fed in to the stereotypes of the other. And had it not been for this reality, this vicious loop, this reality that sometimes some men are acting in ways that are not appropriate. Some men are acting in matters of dhulm, injustice towards women. And this provokes those women to embrace aspects that are against our religion, aspects of feminism, going to court when they don't need to go to court because they say, you aren't solving the problem, so we have to go here. So they go to that extreme. When they go to that extreme, other men see that extreme and they become even more alpha male. They become even more embracing of a harsh version of masculinity. I say bluntly, each of the two genders is feeding into the other. Neither one is totally innocent. And unless and until we understand this reality, and before we begin to point fingers, let's look in the mirror. Before we begin to worry about the other side, ask ourselves, what have I done to contribute to the problem? And what can I do to contribute to the solution? So today, inshallah ta'ala, is the beginning of a number of khutbahs. This isn't the only khutbah going to be given on this topic. Today I want to begin by raising three simple facts, raising the course of the dialogue. And I state that my goal here is not to appease any one of the two genders. Wallahi, this is a topic, no matter who says what, they will get cancelled. No matter what I say, one group will cancel me for something, the other group will cancel me for another. So I say, I do not care about the criticism of the critic. I only fear the criticism of the Lord, insha'Allah ta'ala. What I speak today will be from the heart. It doesn't concern me what other groups are going to say, even though I'm fully aware the reality of the world we live in. This khutbah will be dissected. Every 5 seconds will be put on other websites and other broadcasts, and I will be cancelled by both sides and all sides and neither sides. So be it. We have to speak the truth regardless of the criticism of the critic. The first point I want to mention, oh Muslims, we take our morality, our ethics, our laws from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not from the culture around us. We take our ethics, our values, our laws from the Quran, from the Sunnah. Allah revealed to us a book and Allah sent us a prophet in order to guide us. And so culture comes secondary, tertiary. Culture is not the primary source of law and understanding. Culture is a secondary source. Yes, we know this. Al-urfu muhakkam. Culture comes in where the sharia is silent. But the sharia, the Quran, the sunnah, this is our primary lens. Everything else is secondary. And therefore, before anybody begins to speak about this subject, O Muslim, if you believe in Allah, do not begin to speak about this subject based upon the common culture. First thing, go back to the Quran, go back to the Sunnah, go back to our Sharia, and then understand what is our religion stance on these issues before you jump into the modern culture wars that are taking place. And from our religion, much can be said here. The most obvious is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has categorically divided mankind into the two genders of male and female. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقَ الذَّكَرَ وَالْأُنْثَى. Allah created the male and the female. Allah says, فَجَعَلَ مِنْهُمَ الزَّوْجَيْنِ الذَّكَرَ وَالْأُنْثَى. From mankind I divided male and female. Allah says, وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. The male is not like the female. This is a verse in the Quran. The male is not like the female. We don't need the Quran actually for this regard. Biology teaches us this. But unfortunately, biology is being questioned and we're being told male and female are the same and male and female is an identity. It doesn't matter what they say. So we will bring in the Quran and we will bring in biology and we'll bring in every single facet of life to say to us that yes, there are fundamental differences between men and women. Biological differences, physiological differences, hormonal differences, intellectual differences, emotional differences. At every single level of existence, the man and the woman are different. And every single study and every single survey shows this. And there's nothing wrong with this. Allah created the two genders differently. And because He created the two genders differently, it is not surprising that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the two of them different responsibilities. Obviously, when they are different at every level, down to the DNA, you can take a blood sample and you can see whether it is male or female. You can extract from the dead bones of a body buried and you can tell whether this is male or female. Down to the bone, down to the DNA, there are differences. When there are differences at that level, you don't think they're going to be manifested in the real level? They're not going to be manifested in society, in culture, in family? Of course it will be. So when men and women are created differently, understandably, their roles, their functions, their rights, their responsibilities are also different. But the Quran and Sunnah has never ever claimed that one is better than the other. No, they're different and differences should be respected and embraced. There is no competition. The both of them are equally noble. The both of them are equally human. The both of them have equally been created to worship Allah and to enter Jannah. Neither of the two is more noble than the other. And this is the explicit testimony of the Quran and the Sunnah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions when our mothers came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, Ya Rasulullah, why doesn't Allah mention women more in the Quran? Haven't we also migrated? Haven't we also sacrificed? Haven't we also lost loved ones? And so Allah revealed in the Quran, فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ أَنِّي لَا أُضِعُ عَمَلَ عَامِلٍ مِّنْكُمْ مِّنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى بَعْضُكُمْ مِّنْ بَعْضٍ. Allah says, I have responded to this. And I will say, Allah will not cause the good deeds of any of you to go to waste, male or female. The two of you are from each other. The two of you are from each other, meaning every male comes from a male and female, and every female comes from a male and female. بَعْضُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْضٍ. So any good deed a man does, and any good deed a woman does, they shall get the equal rewards if all other factors are the same. Gender does not privilege in the eyes of Allah. That is the ultimate equality. So this is the first point that we learn from the Sharia. Not surprisingly, therefore, men and women do have general different roles. There's no surprise here when Allah created them biologically different, emotionally different, hormonally different, physiologically different, then don't be surprised when there are default roles. And these default roles, without a doubt, are better suited to how Allah created us. So the male, generally speaking, has the role of protection, of maintenance. The male has, generally speaking, the duty of maintaining. The Arabic word is qiwama, of being responsible. And the woman, the general default role is to be nurturing, is to be loving, is to be a homemaker. This is the reality of the Quran and the Sunnah and of lived human history. Anybody can be an engineer or doctor, male or female. Anybody can be a CEO, male or female. But only a woman can bring life into this world and nurture and love that life with a love that only the mother has. has. There is no competition. Women have been created to be nurturing. Women have been created that Allah has allowed them to bring life into this world. What more nobility can you want than this? And I say that one of the biggest criticisms I have of feminism and of third and fourth wave feminism, one of the biggest criticisms I have is that they have made the notion of a homemaker and a housewife to be something demeaning, to be something looked down upon. There is nothing more noble than giving birth and taking care of that child. What can possibly be more noble than bringing another life into this world by Allah's permission? We men have no competition in that regard. But unfortunately, what feminism has done is the very notion of a woman being a homemaker, of a woman being feminine, it is looked down upon as if she's not reached her full potential. What greater potential is there than to give birth and to nurture this child that you have given birth to? And so, without a doubt, the Sharia has come with ideals, and these are the ideals. However, move on to the next point here, and this is where it gets a little bit confusing. While there are ideal roles, that yes, the man generally is the provider, is the maintainer, is the protector, and the woman generally is the nurturer. These are general roles, but here is where it gets awkward. First and foremost, the Sharia, because it means to be applied across the world for all times and places, did not bring a long list of chores, of specifics. The Sharia did not come with very minute details about what does it mean that man is qiwama? What does it mean that man is responsible for the maintenance and woman is responsible for the nurturing? Allah didn't reveal the details. Why? Because these details will change from time to culture to place to society. Therefore, there is an element of openness in this regard that we can change and adapt to. And this is where in this ambiguity, a lot of confusion arises. If you look online, one of the biggest debates that modern couples have, who's going to cook the meals? Who's going to do the chores? Who's going to take the trash out? I have to tell you, Allah didn't reveal Quranic verses about this. And the Sharia has come open-ended. You will find scholars in some generations, in some societies, saying the average class, middle class family, the husband has to bring a servant for the wife. But you know, in America, we cannot afford servants. That's not the reality. Whereas in other societies, middle class can't afford servants. And so in that society, you have a famous scholar in 7th century, you know, Damascus. He has a famous fatwa, you find it online, that the average household, the woman is not obligated to cook, and the husband has to provide a help to come and cook. That's fine for that society, but in the lands we live in, we cannot afford for the average person. So then who will do the cooking? Who will do the maintenance of the household? The Sharia has left it for the couples to decide. You cannot quote one fatwa from a 7th century scholar. Another scholar said it is not allowed for the husband to demand cooking from his wife. You will find diversity here, right? No one fatwa from a scholar of the past will be applicable to modern America. Requires a different understanding of the times of the places. And the Sharia did not come with specifics. Let every couple decide. Let every couple come together and say, it's a varied reality. Sometimes the woman cannot because she's working, because whatever. In this case, it's the situation might change. Another reality is that not only does the Sharia allow for this, but in fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explicitly endorsed cultural relativity. And this is demonstrated in many instances, even in the seerah. One of the most interesting, and it raises, you know, some humor as well when we mention the story, but apart from the humor, one needs to be serious in this regard, that Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he was accustomed to a certain type of interaction with the women of Mecca, that the women were more docile, the women were more quiet. And when they migrated to Medina, then his wife became more responding, more rebuking, more standing up and responding back to Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. And so he complained to the Prophet ﷺ, Ya Rasulullah, don't you miss the days in Mecca when our women were quiet and they didn't respond back to us? Now we've come to Medina, these Ansari ladies have corrupted, he said, they've corrupted our women, right? Now yes, we find, the brothers find this a bit humorous, I get this point here. But here's the more serious point. The more serious point, who's right, Mecca or Medina? The Prophet ﷺ did not take sides here. This requires a bit of maturity, anthropology, sociology, cultural differences. Mecca was more, if you like, rough. Medina was more urban and cultivated. And the general rule, listen to me carefully, when societies are more cultivated, when there's more civic, you know, safety, when there's more amenities, gender roles will change. Gender roles will change. And when society is more rough, when you have to protect, when there's war going on, all feminism will be forgotten when wars come back here, because men will have to protect women. But there's nothing wrong with this. Societies change. And in the current society we live in, with technology, with the advancement of all of the amenities that we have, with the safety and whatnot, don't be surprised, men and women's roles change. And it's not even if Mecca and Medina had different understandings of how a wife should treat her husband. And this is in the same time and the same land. What do you think about America in 2024? So brothers in particular, be broad-minded and understand the Sharia allows for a fine-tuning. And I speak bluntly to the young brothers here. Don't imagine that your understanding of how to treat a woman, which is based upon some abstract theory, is going to be the real understanding. We find this rise of this harsh, machoistic culture. I find it terrifying. The appeal of certain internet personalities, the appeal of this version of harsh masculinity. Oh, brothers, allow me to be blunt. You can't even enforce this version in your own mother and sister and their related to you. Do you think you will enforce it on your future wife? Wallahi, it's not going to happen. And wait till you have daughters. Just wait till you have a 19-year-old daughter wanting to argue with you over your understanding of how men and women should live. Wallahi, oh brothers, if you maintain this narrow-minded understanding of the way to be a true man is just to be harsh, to not understand prophetic mercy, to not understand women are equal creatures, equal human beings, equal nobility. If you think Islam teaches you just to be machoistic, then I'm sorry, you haven't understood Islam and you haven't understood biology. This is not how the world works here. But the same can be said of our sisters as well. Oh sisters, understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed you with privileges He didn't give our brothers. And of those privileges is your femininity and your compassion. Of the blessings Allah has given you, He's made you a woman. And what a woman brings to the table in marriage is not what a man brings. Again, allow me to be blunt here. As somebody who has to deal with divorces every single day or second day in our community, even yesterday a major issue happened and I had to deal with a family involved. Somebody that has to deal with the level of unmarried sisters, we have a crisis. How many women are not married? How many of our qualified women, they're in their 30s, 40s, and they've never gotten married, and they're saying, where are all the men here? Sisters, allow me to be blunt, and I know this is so politically incorrect, I'm going to get canceled 100 times over. May Allah protect me. Allah Azza wa Jal created you as a woman. And what a man wants as a woman is not her degrees or her education. I'm not saying not to get educated, don't misunderstand me. But when a man wants to get married, he's not looking for a partner in his company. He's not looking for a partner in the business. He wants a woman. And a woman, a mother to his children. He wants somebody that's a life partner. That's what he's looking for. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying, of course, you should be educated, no problem. You should have a degree. Yes, indeed. Allah bless me with sons and daughters. All of them are getting top-notch degrees right now. All of them are getting educated. But I'm saying, you have to understand, dear sisters, that your value in the eyes of Allah is not related to your degree. It's not related to what you bring to the table. It is related to your piety and then your akhlaq. Your akhlaq is what a brother will be interested in. Your akhlaq, your femininity, your inner beauty, this is what a brother wants to see. And my humble advice to you, oh sisters, when you come of marriageable age, do not delay your marriage for the sake of the dunya. Do not delay your marriage for the sake of this dunya. When you get of marriageable age, then a good brother proposes, accept that. And this is a message to the parents as well. Talk to any of us seniors in the community. How many mothers and fathers come to us begging to find suitors for their daughters? And their daughters are super qualified. Their daughters have MDs and PhDs. Their daughters are great. But as we all know, and I'm sorry, but this is the blunt reality. priority. There is a time opportunity in which women have the highest value. And if they let that time go by, I'm sorry to be blunt, cancel me if you will. Your cancellation doesn't change biology and it doesn't change the facts. And the facts are women of a certain age have the highest value when it comes to marriage and potentiality. And if you allow that age to go, well, we face a spinsterhood problem. We face this reality. Parents, listen to me carefully. Yes, educate your daughters, but make sure they have good husbands as well. And do not prioritize anything over a loving husband. The sisters of our times, wallahi, they want a loving family more than they want advanced degrees and education. And if you can do both, good for you, no problem. But without a doubt, priority is marriage. Priority is children. For a woman to have a loving husband, for a woman to have a loving family and children, wallahi, this is the best blessing she can have after Islam. So do not delay marriage on either sides. O Muslims, I conclude the first khutbah by reminding all of us, and especially our youth, that do not think of this complex topic in simplistic terms. This is a very deep and profound topic. Do not think one slogan can solve all the problems. Remove these labels, remove the cancel culture, remove the emotionalism, and then speak to your elders. Young men, speak to your mothers and aunts and older cousins. Get the woman's perspective. Young women, speak to the elders in your community as well. Life teaches you what books will not teach you. And your grandmother has more wisdom than all of the internet celebrities combined, because your grandmother has lived life and she has experience of real life, unlike all of the internet people who are giving you ideas that are absolutely incorrect. Listen to your elders, dialogue with those that have more knowledge than you, and understand the world is a very complex place. You're not going to find simplistic answers to these complex problems. And most importantly, throughout all of this, raise your hands to Allah and ask Allah to guide you in this complex and difficult topic. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you with wisdom and understanding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless each and every one of us with and through the Quran, and may He make us of those who His verses they understand and applies halal and haram throughout our lifespan. I ask Allah's forgiveness. You as well ask Him, for He is the Ghafoor and the Rahman. Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah, the one and the unique. He it is whom we worship, and it is His blessings that we seek. He is the Lord of the oppressed, and He hears the prayer of the weak. As to what follows, O Muslims, I go back to my first point here. Without a doubt, each of the genders has a long list of things that irritates them about the opposite gender, understandably. But the actual solution to the problem must begin with the acknowledgement that both of us are feeding into that negativity. Both genders, wallahi, oh brothers, if every one of you acted in the prophetic manner, if every one of you acted like a true gentleman, if you truly embraced Islamic masculinity, the bulk of our sisters would not have to resort to their understandings of feminism. But because we have failed, and because divorce is rampant, and because abuse is rampant, and because zulm is rampant, and because there's so much harm, understandably, some of our sisters, many of our sisters have misunderstood the religion and said and done things they should not do. When they do this, a new batch of youngsters sees that, and in order to respond to those sisters, they embrace a version of masculinity, the alpha male masculinity, the red pill masculinity that they think will solve the problems. But both of these are feeding into each other, and neither will solve problems. Oh Muslims, oh brothers, oh sisters, oh men and women, we are not enemies of each other. Half the world is the opposite gender. We need each other. We are together. وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضُ. Believing men, believing women, the two of them are supporters of each other. We are supporters. We are not enemies of one another. We're on the same team, and that is the team of marriage and the team of family. Understand this point. If you're going to dehumanize the other gender, if you're going to constantly belittle, if you're going to constantly, you know, try to make fun of them, what do you think is going to happen? It doesn't work that way. Brothers and sisters, men and women, we are not competing against each other. We are, in fact, competing against ourselves. Each one of us, we are competing against ourselves to see who is best in the eyes of Allah. Oh Muslims, we need to turn to Allah for help, not turn against each other. And I say to women and to men, our ultimate value, our ultimate worth is not decided by our backgrounds, by our ethnicities, even by our gender that Allah has chosen for us. Our ultimate nobility is decided by our piety. And piety, O Muslims, has no gender. Men and women can both be pious. And ultimate nobility comes through piety and only piety. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. O Muslims, turn to Allah, be pious, understand the Islamic understanding of gender, understand Islam has priority over culture, understand culture has a role to play, but only after Islam. And then most importantly, be open to learn, be open to dialogue, be open to communication. Humble yourselves. You're only 19, 20, you don't know everything about this world. Humble yourselves. You're not married yet, you don't understand marriage, so learn from those older than you. Speak to those that have traversed this path and understand that your ultimate wisdom will come from Allah and then from the elders of the community, and not from internet personalities that might give you some nuggets of wisdom, but that is couched in much evil. That's not where you learn from. Learn from the Quran and learn from your elders in your community. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us all to that which He loves. Allahumma inni da'in fa'amminu. Allahumma la tad'a fi al-yawmi dhamman illa ghafarta, wala hamman illa farajta, wala daynan illa qadayta, wala maridan illa shafayta, wala asiran illa yassarta. Allahumma ighfir lana wa li ikhwanina alladhina sabaquna bil iman, wala taj'a fi qulubina ghillan lil ladhina amanu. Rabbana inna رؤوف الرحيم. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم من أرادنا أو أراد الإسلام والمسلمين بسوء فاشغله بنفسه وجعل تدبيره في تدبيره يا قوي يا عزيز. عباد الله، إن الله تعالى أمركم بأمر بدأ به بنفسه وثنى بملائكة قدسه وثلث بكم أيها المؤمنون من جنه وإنسه، فقال عز من قائل عليما: إن الله وملائكة يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وأنعم على عبدك رسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. عباد الله، إن الله تعالى يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه يزد لكم، ولذكر الله تعالى أكبر، وأقم الصلاة.
فيا ذلي ويا خجلي إذا ما قال لي ربي أما استحييته تعصيني ولا تخشى من العتب وتخفي الذنب عن خلقي وتأبى في الهوى قربي فتب مما جنيت عسى تعود إلى رضا